You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, our very special guest. We had him on our anniversary 200 show, and he's here with us in the studio, the District Attorney of Brooklyn, Eric Gonzalez. Eric Gonzalez made history when he became the first Latino elected to serve as district attorney in New York State in November 2017. Thank you for coming to Reaching Out.
Thank you for having me back, Gregory.
So before we begin, we were having a conversation. You are a man among the people. So tell us your background. Tell us how you got started in politics and how you rose to become the district attorney.
So I'm a lifelong Brooklyn resident. I mean, I grew up in Williamsburg, Bushwick part of Brooklyn, and then later on in my life, East New York, Brooklyn. I went to college and law school with the idea of coming back and serving my community as an assistant district attorney. When Ken Thompson was elected in 2014, I had already been a DA for about 19 years at the time and had some leadership positions in the DA's office, but Ken gave me the opportunity to serve as his chief assistant, meaning I was number two in charge of the office. And unfortunately, when Ken got sick with cancer, he promoted me to acting district attorney. Governor Cuomo allowed me to serve his term when he passed away. And then, I decided that the things that Ken and I had been working on to make our justice system fairer needed to continue, and I decided to run. I had never imagined running prior to that.
Wow, it's like a story. And Ken Thompson was a very good district attorney, short-lived, and we do miss him. But I know he was your choice because you would not have been made number two. So thank you for telling us that. Now, tell us about some of the initiatives you're working on, like Justice 2020. Tell us what that is.
So, Greg, Justice 2020 is really a overarching attempt to make our criminal justice system work for all of us. You know, as the district attorney of Brooklyn, it's my responsibility to keep the people of Brooklyn safe. Having grown up in places like East New York, I understand that the need for public safety and the value of making sure our families are safe. But we can't forget that we have to have a justice system that serves everyone. And Justice 2020 really asks our communities of Brooklyn, what does public safety look like to you? And what does fairness and, equity look like? How can we have a fairer criminal justice system? So having the third largest DA's office in the country gave me the opportunity to bring in over 70 experts on criminal justice matters and said, can you help devise a blueprint of what needs to be done in our justice system to make sure people are safe, but also to make sure that people feel that the system actually works for them and is fair? And so we got a bunch of recommendations from these experts, and the experts included academics and reformers and law enforcement, clergy, and stakeholders in our community. We had 17 recommendations that they came forward on, and one of the recommendations is, one of the reasons why I wanted to come to talk to you today about how we go back and clear people from prior convictions.
Before we hear about that, I learned something every time I have someone on the show. I did not know Brooklyn had the third largest district attorney's office in the nation.
Yeah, we're 2.6 million people in Brooklyn. One third of our population are immigrants. 50% of Brooklyn speaks another language other than English at home. And I believe 2.6 is an undercount because we have people who are not really counted in our census. So it's a large jurisdiction. Brooklyn, I think, if it was a city onto itself, would be the fourth largest city in the country.
Well, that I did know because watching Welcome Back Carter, remember Welcome Back Carter?
Sure.
They would show the sign, Welcome to Brooklyn, fourth largest city.
So it's it's a tremendous office. I have over 1,100 employees. I have over 500 prosecutors in Brooklyn.
Wow. Now, you recently announced a program to vacate old marijuana convictions.
Yes. So as we're having this conversation throughout the city about marijuana enforcement and what the role of the police department is in enforcing marijuana laws, one of the things that I've done is go around Brooklyn and speak to people about their opinion. Do they support legalization? Do they support giving criminal summonses for marijuana use? Do they want people to be arrested for use? And one of the things that has come out is that people believe in, once someone has been held accountable, that these old marijuana convictions that people have received should not hang around forever. There has to be a way to allow people to move forward with their lives, especially as we all know now that, you know, in places like Brooklyn, over 90% of the people convicted for marijuana use were either Black or Latino. And these convictions have lifelong collateral consequences for housing, for employment. If a young person gets arrested for marijuana, they can't get student loans. And, you know, one of the things that I believe in is that once someone has been held accountable, we shouldn't ruin the rest of their lives. And so we have to figure out ways to make our system fairer. And so we've decided in Brooklyn that if you have a marijuana conviction, nothing else involved, and it's for possession of marijuana, and you meet certain qualifications, that you can come to our Begin Again event, and we'll have other events. You'll be given a free attorney from either Brooklyn Defender Services or Legal Aid. We're also working with NYU Law School and Brooklyn Law School, and there'll be a process by which you can apply to have your warrant vacated. We believe there are over 20,000 people who would be eligible to clear this conviction. Many of them, it's their only conviction.
Tell us about Begin Again. Tell us what that is.
So Begin Again is something that my predecessor, Ken Thompson, and I worked on. It's an opportunity for people who've made mistakes and violated the law, right? You got to get a summons from a police officer, a pink ticket. And if you don't pay the ticket, or you don't go to court to deal with this ticket, even though the offense itself may not be criminal, the offense could be walking a dog off a leash, you know, riding a bike on a sidewalk. These are not criminal offenses, but the failure to pay that ticket or to respond to that ticket will result in an arrest warrant. And last summer, I was part of an initiative to dismiss many of these low-level summonses. We're going to continue to help people get rid of those summonses, those warrants, because if a police officer, if you're a victim of a crime, if you're a victim of a crime and you call the police to help you and they run your record and they see you have a warrant, they have to arrest you on this warrant. These warrants cause you to be brought into central booking. You may spend a night in jail because you didn't pay a fine. And so this is an effort to get people to come in, clear these warrants, deal with the tickets. Often the tickets will be dismissed. No one ever gets arrested at Begin Again. We do it in a church. It's a sanctuary. And we bring the courthouse into our communities. And so this it's going to be this coming week. We're doing it on Friday, September 21st, and Saturday, September 22nd. At Lenox Road Baptist Church. It's from 9 to 3. You know, in the past, we've helped over 3,000 people just with Begin Again. We've vacated these warrants, and it allows people to go back and live their lives without the fear of being arrested. You know, once these warrants are issued, people are afraid to come forward. They think they're going to have to spend a night in jail. And so Begin Again says, we're partners with our community. Come in. We're going to vacate these warrants. We're going to give you back your life. A young man last time said to me as he was leaving our event, I cleared my warrant. I believe he had a warrant because he didn't pay a fine for an open container of beer. And he said, you know, I've been driving, but I didn't have a license. I can't get a license because I had this warrant. So now I'm going to leave right from here and go to DMV and apply for my driver's license. So these warrants have tremendous collateral impact to people's lives, including our immigrant neighbors, because these warrants can lead to ICE enforcement.
So for those who want to get their warrants vacated, once again, it's Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd of September.
Yes, at Lenox Road Baptist Church. Address is 1356 Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn. What's important, Greg, about this is you don't need to have any money. You don't have to worry that you can't pay the fine. You don't need a lawyer. There'll be free representation, and you won't be arrested even though you have the warrant. They will come in and vacate that warrant, and then we'll deal with your ticket. And often these tickets are so old. So often people come in with 10-year-old tickets, 15-year-old tickets, that the cases are actually just dismissed. So you can really go on and move on with your life.
And you're going to have a judge there, too, who's going to go
to... It's a real courthouse.
It's a real courthouse.
It's a real courthouse, but it's brought into the community. And we're doing it now also on Saturday. We did Friday and Saturday, so we know people work, people have obligations. You can come. And Lenox Road Baptist Church, if people don't know, it's a beautiful church. Reverend Pastor Cohall is the senior pastor there. He's opening up his sanctuary. There'll be places for people to sit and relax. And we're doing something else at this Begin Again, which is we're giving people the opportunity now who had been previously convicted to come in, meet with an attorney, and figure out if that case can be vacated, that prior marijuana conviction can be vacated. This is a big deal because it's the first DA's office in the state, probably in the country, but definitely in New York State, that's given the people an opportunity to come in and start their lives over.
It is a big deal. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest, Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez, and we're here talking about Begin Again, which is a program that he started to have your warrants vacated and you can actually start your life over again. What motivated you to come up with this?
There were over a million people in New York City who had a warrant for their arrest. That's an amazing number. Ordinary New Yorkers. These are people who got tickets for things that aren't... These aren't crimes, right? This is not misdemeanor crimes. These are people, you know, we've met people who had warrants because they walked their dog off the leash and, like I said, ride their bike on the sidewalk or they littered. And the non-payment of that ticket would cause them to be thrown into a jail cell with hardened criminals. It didn't make any sense. It does not keep us safer to have a system that throws people in jail, and it alienates our police officers from our community. These folks have to avoid the police because they have this warrant. And if the police come into contact, the police have to arrest them because they have a warrant. So it engenders distrust and not trust. My thought on this was, wouldn't it be great if we can encourage people to come in and responsibly deal with their tickets, vacate these warrants, and know they do it in the place that's not a trick. The DA is not trying to trick them. The police aren't trying to trick them. I should also say that the police department is a partner in this. Our court system is a partner in this. You know, our defenders are a partner in this opportunity. So we bring our courthouse into individual neighborhoods and say, we can't make it easier than this. Come in and deal with your ticket.
But you have to come in.
You have to come in. You have to come in. You have to deal with it for most of these warrants. We are going to be vacating a certain number of summons warrants for marijuana that won't require people to come in. These are cases that would no longer be prosecuted under the new policies with the police department and the DA's office.
And if somebody is unavailable on those 2 days, will there be another opportunity?
Yes. I mean, this is our sixth time of doing this. What I would say is you don't want to wait for the next time
because you may be caught up in
you
something.
May get arrested. Yeah. If you're driving and you get stopped for a traffic infraction, instead of getting a ticket, you're going to be hauled off to central booking. And if you get sent to central booking, you may be there 24 hours because you didn't pay a $25 fine. It doesn't make any sense. I also know, growing up in a low-income neighborhood, that sometimes when people get a summons, they don't deal with the summons because they simply can't afford to deal with it. And that's why I say come to Begin Again on the 21st or 22nd, even if you don't have a penny in your pocket, we will help you. The DA's office is about keeping our community safe, but it's also about helping people. And I believe this is a program that helps ordinary New Yorkers.
So tell us, how is crime these days in Brooklyn? Is it up? Is it down?
You know, we're doing okay in Brooklyn. Crime last year was at a record low in terms of the number of people shot, the number of shooting incidents, and the number of homicides. So we led the city in violence reduction in Brooklyn last year. Our homicides are still down from last year's record low, so we're losing less people. We have a slight increase in the number of shooting incidents and the number of people who've been shot, but it's a moderate increase. But listen, I dedicated my life to keeping people safe. And so as long as we have people who lose their life or who are being shot in Brooklyn, we have to do more and we can do more. We created a crime strategies unit in my office to work with the police department so that we can target the people who are going to hurt our families. I call them drivers of crime. And we have a whole unit that works on figuring out who are the most dangerous people in our community. You know, an interesting fact that I did not know until we created crime strategies is that half a percent of the people in any community create or are responsible for 70% of the violent crime. And when I heard that, that was a remarkable number, extraordinary number. 0.5% do 70% of the violence in our community. But then it resonated with me. And I think if people think about it, on any block, there's that one family that causes trouble for that block. Or if you live in a building, that one family in the building that causes all the mayhem.
Yes.
That's the same thing that we find. We find that most people are hardworking. They want to live in peace. They want to live in safety. But you have that 0.5% that it's doing the violence. For us, often it's gang members. But crime strategies working hand in glove with the police department to identify those people and take them off the streets so that we can live in peace.
Yeah, no matter where you go, you always got one. Whether you're on the plane somewhere, it's always one. In the stadium, you always got one.
And so this strategy makes sense. It makes sense to focus not on an entire community, an entire neighborhood, but focus on individuals who are hurting us and who are responsible for committing the crime. And because we're doing that, Greg, I think we're making tremendous progress in Brooklyn. Listen, there is no question. I grew up in the Brooklyn of the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
It's a different Brooklyn in terms of safety. You can live.
No more crack, no more vials on the ground. Right. Different Brooklyn.
Right. We're living in a Brooklyn that is much safer than the Brooklyn that you and I grew up in.
Tell me about the public housing developments in Brooklyn. There are a lot of them, probably over 100.
Right. So we have 99 individual housing developments. So we have hundreds of buildings. And a lot of these developments are in, our most, economically distressed communities. In the past, we had a lot of crime in NYCHA in New York City, and especially in our housing developments. Along the lines of the progress we're making in Brooklyn, we're making tremendous strides in public safety in NYCHA. We're down 37% in NYCHA homicides and shootings, but crime is just down generally across the board in our housing developments. One of the first things I did when I was elected to DA was create a housing violence suppression unit. That unit works closely with NYCHA, but more importantly, works closely with tenants. And using this sort of drivers of crime approach, we're asking our neighbors to tell us, who are the people in the building that we need to pay attention to? Who are the gang members? And then we're paying attention to them. And I can tell you that we've taken an approach that if we see a spike in violence, like there's a shooting and then there's retaliation, we will do an investigation. We'll identify who the players are in this sort of back and forth, and we'll take them down. We will arrest them. And as we've done that in different housing developments, we have taken housing developments that had a spike in shootings, and by arresting a small group of people, really a small number of people, the next year they'll have no shootings or very minimal number of shootings. So there is a strategy here, and it's a strategy that's promoted to do two things: protect us, but also strengthen trust in our justice system. We don't have to arrest ourselves en masse to keep us safe. We just have to make sure that we're paying attention to the right people.
That's a very good strategy. And that goes back to the theory, it's always one.
Yeah.
Do you have any programs aimed at young people who are charged with crimes?
We do. I should first say that one of the most important things I can do as the district attorney is to make sure that we figure out ways of holding young people accountable for bad conduct, because we know that young people who come into our criminal justice system are, I think, 66% likely to be rearrested within the next 2 years for committing another crime and eventually committing a violent crime. And so that when we get them early on into our justice system, we have to have meaningful interactions with them. In the past, we had a system where I call it, turnstile justice. They would come in, they would be, slapped on the wrist with some sort of punishment, whether it be a couple days jail or probation or community service, but they would be sent back. So they would plead guilty, they get some kind of punishment, they'd be sent back to our communities, no better than when we got them. I created a young adult court, which is really about holding people accountable. We have forensic social workers there, and we have social workers who meet young people when they get arrested. So they come in, they're arrested, they meet the judge, they're arraigned, then they meet a social worker. And the social worker just tries to figure out why they're committing the type of crime they're committing. So if some young men get arrested in school for fighting and assaulting each other, in the past we'd send them back with a couple days of community service, right back to the school. Now we say, okay, is there a mental health issue? Is there a drug addiction issue? And instead of saying you're going to go back to school, we're going to say you're going to have to do anger management first. And we are going to provide services to our young people so that we can avoid them committing the same offense. Because punishing them and not doing anything more with them did not work. And we know that. I know that because I've seen it for over 20 plus years now. So now the idea is when we get them into our system, we provide social services and we require them to complete that. And then if they complete it, I'm willing to dismiss their case so they don't have a criminal record. They get a tremendous fresh start. They get that real second chance. Because in the past, sometimes a second chance meant that the person didn't go to jail, but they got stuck with a criminal record.
Right.
If you come through our young adult court and you do what's required of you, you can walk away from this a better person and a person without a criminal record.
Okay. I want to tell you, we got 1 minute left. I wanted to tell you that approach is much better than the mayor's warning card system where you just let kids walk away and there's no record of anything. You actually have social workers involved. You have change of behavior, and you have a way to expunge their records if they comply with everything. That's a much better approach.
You have to keep people safe.
Yeah.
And when a young person comes into our justice system because they've committed a crime, we have to acknowledge, they have to acknowledge that they did wrongdoing. And then we can figure out how we help them so that none of us want our young people to be criminalized and make them unemployable. You can't get an education, you can't get housing. That's not what anyone wants. But a young person, in order to move forward with their lives, has to take accountability for their wrongdoing.
Thank you. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment, Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest, District Attorney of Brooklyn, Eric Gonzalez.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.